The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. It is the 4 o'clock hour, and my telephone number is 877 Bob Live. I want to get into this Harvard story. The head of the chaplains at Harvard is an atheist, and he was elected by a unanimous vote of other chaplains on the campus, including an evangelical who has written a lengthy editorial defending his vote for an atheist chaplain. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. We need to discuss it. But during the break, I was just looking at some video out of Louisiana. It is amazing. It is miraculous that more people were not killed in Louisiana. Some of you may know Grand Isle, Louisiana. Not a big population, around 1,000 people live out on this island off the coast. There is not one inhabitable home in the entire city, on the entire island. Not one inhabitable home. All of them are either completely destroyed, there is nothing left, or they are so badly damaged that people can't live in them. The entire island just wiped away from this this Hurricane Ida. And then, of course, the terrible devastation up in the Northeast. So continue to pray for those folks. Continue to pray for them. All right, I wanted to get into this Harvard story, but it's Friday. And on other days of the week, I would just plow ahead with this Harvard story. And then I would, if people were holding on the phone, I would just allow them to wait just a little bit. But on Fridays, I always do my best to defer to phone calls. So we're going to go to the phones, and I have William in Blacklick, Ohio. William, thanks for calling Bob Burney Live. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Bob. Hope you're having a good day.
I am having a wonderful day. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. I told you, producer, I want to continue from last week, because the segment last week started about the Taliban, mm-hmm. where you made the comment that you were embarrassed that you were not aware of the prisoners that were released from prison
right.
over in Afghanistan. And yeah. I called and told you that under the Trump administration that there was an agreement made and that 5,000 Taliban and ISIS prisoners were released through an agreement with him. And you said, well, I don't know about that, William. I'll have to look that up and get back to you. So you had your break and you came back and you said, well, our last call was wrong. These prisoners were released under Biden, the Air Force. Now, I did not mention anything about the prisoners that were released from the Air Force base. I said that under the Trump agreement, there were 5,000 Taliban and ISIS prisoners released before even the election. I have the story right here, dated September 3rd, 2020. Where it quotes that the Afghan president, under the agreement with Donald Trump, released 5,000 Taliban prisoners, and some of them were ISIS, and those same prisoners are the ones that are leading and heading the Taliban today. And also, those Taliban leaders of today are the ones that released those prisoners in Air Force Base. So, no, I was not wrong. I answered the question you asked about the prisoners being released, and you came back and noted about the prisoners that were released from the Air Force Base. I did not mention that. I said the 5,000 prisoners were the ones that were released under the Trump agreement.
Okay. I may have misunderstood you because I looked up the prisoners that were released from Bagram, and there were thousands. The State Department didn't even know how many thousands. All they could say when asked specifically about how many prisoners were released from the prison at Bagram, the State Department simply said it was thousands, but they didn't have an exact number.
Okay, well, also, those prisoners that were, again, I will agree with you on this, why those prisoners, even those 5,000 and those that, was it Bagram you said? Is that, am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, Bagram. Okay. Correct.
Why those prisoners were not transferred before any withdrawal was taken. I don't understand why those prisoners were turned loose. If they were under American control, why they weren't transferred before we got out of Afghanistan?
That I have no idea. I think that's a question that all of us have. I think a lot of people think that they should have been taken to Guantanamo or someplace else. And I'm looking up what you're saying, the Trump administration. I've just now found a story, Trump administration, Taliban reached an agreement on February 29th. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the agreement was a historic opportunity, first step towards potential peace. Several conditions of the agreement, they included pledges that the U.S. would withdraw its troops. Taliban would not allow any of its members, other individual groups, including al-Qaeda, to use the soil of Afghanistan to threaten the security. Taliban and al-Qaeda still maintain another condition agreement. The U.S. would work out a plan for the release of the combat and political prisoners as a confidence-building measure with coordination. Okay, which is not as a state is known as up to 1,000. It was a prisoner swap, 1,000 prisoners on the other side. Taliban prisoners. I'm sorry, William, but I'm reading it as we talk because I was unaware of that.
Oh, that's all right.
The prisoners were not released by the targeted date, but their release did eventually happen. The Afghan government released all but 400 Taliban prisoners by August of 2020. The same month, the release of prisoners paved the way for the beginning of peace talks. If this is true, I think it was dumb and wrong for the Trump administration and Mike Pompeo. I'll have to look deeper into this. Again, I was assuming, William, and I apologize, I was assuming you were referring to the prisoners that were set free when the Taliban overran Bagram Air Force Base, and there were thousands of those. And
I have to say, like you, I'm ashamed and embarrassed because the first time I heard about that was when you brought it up last week. So I didn't even know about that.
Yeah,
I was referring to the 5,000. I did not know. So in that case, I would say Biden was wrong in that aspect of allowing them. Well, I don't know if he allowed them, but the whole thing could have been done different. I do not understand why they would not evacuate those people while the U.S. still had control of the city and the airport.
I don't either, William. It makes no sense.
And if it is true that Biden refused to allow the United States to keep control of the city, he was wrong. It was dumb. And I told you that when Trump did something wrong, I told you when Biden does something wrong, I'll do it again. I'm not Republican or Democrat. I'm for what's right.
Yeah,
and that was wrong. It could have been done better, and I don't understand any of this.
Well, I don't either. And I'll have to look deeper into this other prisoner thing. I would totally disagree with that. And I made the same pledge that you did. Overall, I was very supportive of President Trump because I think most of what he did was good for America. But when he deserved criticism, I never hesitated at all to criticize him. And I think it was absolutely essential to at least talk to the Taliban because they were there. It'd be foolish not to talk to them. But to release prisoners that we know were terrorists, no, I would not agree with that at all. And I think that was a wrong decision. Always good to talk to you, William.
Have a blessed weekend,
hey,
Bob.
Hey, you too. All right. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Interesting. I was unaware of this other prisoner agreement that was negotiated under the Trump administration. I'll look deeper into that. If it is what it looks like, not smart at all. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, you may have heard the news. The head chaplain, chief chaplain, whatever they want to call him, at Harvard University is an avowed, loud, and proud atheist. In fact, he has written books trying to convince people to not believe in God. He has written books aimed specifically at college kids, telling them, you don't need God. You've got yourself. Well, he is the chief chaplain. And he was elected unanimously by all of the other chaplains. I think there are about 40 of them at Harvard. Well, it made big news. A lot of people are really upset. A lot of Christians are really upset. Well, one of the chaplains who voted for this atheist is a chaplain with InterVarsity Fellowship. Yep, InterVarsity. Mm-hmm. And he has written an editorial in Christianity Today defending the fact that he voted for an atheist to be the head chaplain at Harvard. And, well, it's a lengthy editorial. I'll cut through all of it. And it's basically, well, he's a nice guy. He's really nice, and I like him, and he likes me, and we need to get along with everybody, and most of all, we need a place at the table. And if we're going to have a place at the table, those are his words, if we're going to have a place at the table, sometimes we gotta do things we don't like to do. Yeah, let me read some quotes from his editorial defending his vote. He begins by saying this. For 7 years, I have worked at Harvard as an evangelical campus minister employed by InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I believe the Bible is authoritative and entirely trustworthy as God's word. Now, there's a red flag for me. Again, if you listen to me often, inspired, infallible, inerrant. Trustworthy and authoritative doesn't cut it. Just because it's trustworthy and authoritative doesn't mean it's perfect. Doesn't mean it's without error. So as soon as I read that, I thought, okay. Anyway, he says, I believe the Bible is authoritative and entirely trustworthy as God's word. I believe that Jesus alone is the way of salvation and that no one comes to the Father except through him. Good. So why would I vote for an atheist to lead the Harvard chaplains? The answer lies in the unique decentralized approach of the Harvard chaplains and how that group of leaders from many faiths or no faith has opened doors for gospel-centered ministry on the campus of a prestigious Ivy League school. So he says, I voted for the atheist chaplain in order to give me more opportunities to share the gospel. Really? He explains the process. It was a conference. He said that room was, of course, a Zoom call. It took place in the spring as a group of about 30. We voted on a slate of chaplains for next year's executive board. I was voted in as chair of the membership committee, and Greg Epstein, that's the atheist, Greg Epstein, Harvard's humanist chaplain since 2005, was voted in as president. There was very little discussion. It was a unanimous vote and a lot of thankfulness for the various chaplains willing to serve in various ways, including the rabbi we voted for the previous year and the Lutheran minister before him and the evangelical campus minister before her. Some media outlets called Epstein the chief chaplain. Others claim he will oversee the activities of all the religious communities on campus. And others say he's now directing the university's more than 40 religious leaders. These reports fail to appropriately portray the nature of the role. Harvard has no chief chaplain, and the president of the Harvard chaplains does not direct spiritual life on campus. We are a decentralized, non-hierarchical community of independent chaplaincies with about 40 chaplains spanning roughly 25 denominations, organizations, traditions, and religions. We are Harvard affiliates, but generally not employees of Harvard. We do not report to any higher-ups on matters of faith or doctrine and so forth. So his first defense of his vote for an atheist as the head of the chaplains at Harvard is that, well, he doesn't really have any authority anyway, and he's a really nice guy, and all of us like him, and so we unanimously voted him in. But it goes downhill after that. And this is what I want to do, is evaluate his reasoning, because I think it's wrong. Now, you may agree. You may think his reasoning is wonderful. I think it's wrong, and I think it's unbiblical. But his reasoning is very typical in the evangelical community today, and that's why I think you and I need to talk about it, and we will when we come back.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.